are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So every stranger has a story, and every story has a potential to change a life. When we welcome others with open arms, we invite not just new friendships, but transformative experiences that can enrich our communities. So let us explore with Pastor Motoya how a simple act of hospitality can lead to remarkable connections and unexpected blessings. Mfundisi Morobwanji.
Bwino Mlibwanji.
Tiri bwino. How are you, Pastor?
I'm blessed.
We are blessed as well. Thank you for coming through once again.
Thank you so very much.
Indeed. Before we start, Mfundisi, I'm going to ask that, can you please offer a word of prayer?
We are praying. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We want to thank you for your goodness and your love. How we pray that, Lord, you speak to each one of us the wonderful words of love in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Mfundisi. You know, yesterday we started it off nicely, you know, speaking about hospitality and what it is. And today we want to look at, you know, welcoming that stranger that we are so scared of. I must just declare, we are so scared of strangers these days, but I believe this conversation, yes, you know, will help us, you know, ease into that fear that we have. So can you share, Mfundisi, a story or an instance where a simple act of hospitality, you know, led to a significant relationship or an experience?
That's great there. Allow me to just maybe give reference to myself.
Okay.
Yes. You know, one time I had an opportunity of being welcomed. I was serving as a literature evangelist. Mm-hmm. Yes, and I was welcomed by a Pentecostal lady by the name of Mrs. Rose Peary.
Okay.
And this lady welcomed me, and just from that simple act, it was something that led to a blessed experience, mm-hmm. and the Lord blessed me with a mother in her. Yet it just started with just a simple issue. I was visiting in the building where she was working, and she was the manager there, and she welcomed me so well. But thereafter, she became a blessing to my ministry. I found a mother in her. So even when I was now marrying, I had a mother to introduce my fiancée to. I had a mother to represent me on my wedding. And thereafter, when I was also going to college, I had a mother who supported me, you know, even financially. And up to now, I have a mother who is a blessing to me and my family, you know, because at least my children have a grandmother. So we visit her home, she visits our home, and yet this just came from just a mere wonderful, you know, welcome. So to me, I want to say, yes, I can testify that through hospitality, there can be a beautiful story that can come out of it.
Yes. So what are some of these challenges, Mfundisi, that we can face as people, you know, when we are faced with trying to welcome strangers, you know, and how do we overcome those? Like yesterday when we spoke, we did share the issues of safety, the issues of crime, for example, that we are scared of. You know, I remember, I think it was last month or so, in our area, there was even a circulation that, hey, there are people posing as I think they were reading meters or reading something. Be careful because they are there to rob people, etc. You see, so looking at, you know, once in a while, you're getting reminders that be careful of strangers. So now, what are some of the other challenges that might be there in terms of, you know, welcoming strangers besides the crime issue? And how do we actually get over that?
Thank you so very much for that one. I had an experience some time back where I had a church member, somebody that I knew through church, but from another town, visited me in another town, and we stayed with him for 3 months. Mm. But how we parted after 3 months was a situation where when I was out for work, he actually, packed my property and left. So this, which you're saying, is not something that is just far-fetched. It's really, really true that a stranger can be a threat, to your security, can be a threat to your lives, can be a threat if you have little children, for example, girls and so on, can be a threat to these little girls in your absence. What is it that we need to do? I think that's your question.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, what we need to do is we need to know, number one, that we need to show love, but yet we don't need to make ourselves vulnerable. Number two, we need to know that we can't do everything by ourselves. There are institutions, their offices, their people that we can refer certain cases to. Even the most qualified counselor, we are taught to say there is a place where you should be able to now refer your client to another institution. Yes, you refer your client to another institution. So all I'm saying is it's very important, therefore, that you need to know that you are not the only answer. Yes,
yeah.
You're not the only answer. You can show your concern, your care, your love, but you're not the only answer.
Okay.
Yes, so we need to just get to know that so that you are able to say, okay, you are stranded and you want to spend a night here. Okay, where are you coming from? Ask them a lot of questions. Get to know their story. Anyone that we can call, where you're coming from, and so on. Yes, you don't just have somebody will say, what's the name of the visitor who spent a night at your home? I don't know. What's the name of their parents? I don't know. Where do they come from? I don't know. What do they do? I don't know. All I know is that he's a creation in the image of God. No, that is not good. What's important is for us to be able to know the people that are with us, because the times have changed. The times have changed. So we need to ask a lot of questions. Before we become vulnerable, ask a lot of questions and get to know their story, because some of them actually are but criminals. I'm saying this because I'm a pastor, and so we always receive people that come and say, no, actually, the neighbor would have told me that you are a pastor, and so I should come here. But then we ask them a lot of questions, and we see that we get others also involved.
I like that, Mfundis. I like that. So how can we now be intentional, Mfundis, more intentional in terms of reaching out to those who may feel isolated and marginalized in our communities? Because we do know them, eh? We do know those people. But not in Jay, even though we are Christians, we go the other way when we see them. You know, we go the other way in everything else. So how do we intentionally, reach out to them? Because we know that they are isolated or they are marginalized.
Oh, that's brilliant. How do we reach out to them? Number one, we need to know that they need the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. They need also that particular feeling of being loved. Few people, the reason they even commit suicide is when they get to a point where they feel nobody loves them and nobody cares. Even if they disappear, nobody cares. So we need to reach out to to them and be a blessing to them. So what I mean by this is that there is something that you can do and make a difference in someone's life. Yes, you may not actually keep them under your own roof, but yet there is something you can do. You can make a difference in their lives. Yes. I remember in South Africa, we had a lady, she came all the way from Botswana by the name of Mrs. Moesi.
Yes.
And this lady, Mrs. Moesi, she had a group of kids, street kids, that she would go to and bless them with some meals. So whether she does it only twice in a week, it was making a difference in their lives, because they knew at least twice a week there is a mother who is coming to bring us warm food.
Okay.
Yes. So to me, I believe that we know those that are in need, and we can reach out to them and help them. That is number one way of helping them. Number two way of helping these people is this. We need to know what is their real need in their life. What is their real need in their life? Because sometimes we may meet a blind Bartimaeus.
Yes.
Because he sits by the roadside begging for coins or money, and we think all they need are rents. When actually, but Bartimaeus, when he was asked, what do you need? He says, I don't need any rent. I don't need money. I don't need pula. I don't need any of that money. What I need is sight, because if I have sight, then I'll have money which I can make for myself without being a beggar. So to me, hospitable, community is a community that will be able to reach out to see the real need that can even solve many problems, that can bring light, can bring sight, and can bring hope to this person's life beyond just us, just free. You know, just trekking there to help every day. But we can do something that can change their lives, and you will be amazed. I have a local church in Zambia. It's called Horizon. And this local church has adopted 32 children that they pay for for their education.
That's nice. Yes. Yeah.
These are kids in their neighborhood, and they have just adopted them and say, we'll take care of your education until you get to university. 32 of them. And this is hospitality at its best.
I like that, Mfundisi. And usually, you know, whenever we're speaking about outreaches, community outreaches, it's always said that don't go there and give people what you think they need, but find out what they need, you know, and give them that. Because sometimes you might go there for wanting to build a school, can people need a hospital? You go there with food, can people need the word of God, you know? Or you go there with Bibles. People don't need your Bibles. They need bread that will satisfy their stomachs now, you know? Sure. So we often told that. Do your due diligence in terms of research. Then you go out.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
So what role, Mfundisi, does empathy play when it comes to hospitality? Can I be hospitable if I'm not empathetic?
Maybe I could answer it in this way. Yes, though it may not be the best of the answers, but I could say, yes, you can show hospitality even when you are not empathetic. What I mean is, depending upon the motivation for that, because, you know, when we are talking about hospitality, we know, you see, your expression of you being warm, you know, you're expressing your warmth, you're expressing your generosity, you're expressing your kindness to visitors, to strangers, and so on. Okay, you know, to have this a friendly and social environment that you give, that you know, that somebody can tell, oh yeah, this person, you know, is full of love, hospitality. Now, I'm just saying, it is possible somehow to show those kind of acts, to dramatize that way, to act that way, without empathy, if the motivation. Is really not being a blessing to people, but the motivation is because you have you are a content creator. You are creating content for your TikTok. You are creating content for your Facebook followers. You are creating content for your YouTube followers. So if it is just for content creation, you can do those kind of things. If it is just for political mileage. Yes, for political mileage, so that now they can vote for you in that particular territory, constituency, in that area. Then you can do that. But to answer your question in another way, we could say, without empathy, there is no way you can be hospitable. Without empathy, there is no way that can be there. The reason is, empathy is slightly different from sympathy. It's slightly different because this is where you put yourself in the shoes of the other person. Yes, you put yourself in the shoes of the other person. If I were this person, Jesus says, do unto others what you'd love them do unto you. If then I was in this person's shoes, what is it that I would do? You know, what is it that I would love another person who is better privileged than myself do to me? So, when you have that empathy, it's the way they speak in English. They say, when you get into that person's shoes, yes, when you embrace that person's story, I love the way your preamble to this program. Each person comes with a story. When you embrace yourself in that particular, because, for example, each time we see somebody who is homeless, we see somebody who is poor. If you have never been poor, if you have never, you know, been there, you know, you don't know, even you've never come close to poverty and so on, you always declare that anyone who is poor is lazy. Because if you are lazy, there is no way you can be poor. And that's usually what you can always say. So, but when you put yourself in that person's shoes, that is now the word you use now, empathy now. And once you have that, believe me, you will always make a difference in someone's life. You always be kind to someone. Yes, even without them, you know, being in a position that they'll be kind to you one day. You always be kind to someone, even to strangers. You be kind to them because you are getting into their shoes. And this is very good. And maybe I can add again and say, the other one is, once you do that, you are empathetic, you empathize. Once you do that, what will happen is you will get the motivation from the word of the Lord that says, whatever you do to the least of my brethren, you are doing it to me, Jesus said.
Indeed. So Mpundisi, as we wrap up, you know, looking at, you know, storytelling, each person has a story. How can it now enhance our understanding of hospitality in a Christian context? When we tell these stories, will people know and understand more, or does it even have any impact?
Yes, these stories have an impact. They really, really have an impact. These stories, they have an impact. And I want to say, these are the stories that bring hope to people's lives. Yes. You know, these are troubled times. Yes, these are troubled times. These are times when things are not working out well, you know, to a lot of people. These are times where politicians promise heaven on earth, but yet people are still experiencing troubled times. Things are falling apart in the community, in the homes, in the families. Things are falling apart. And and sometimes people can try hard, but things are not okay. Mm. So to me, these stories are the good stories. Mm. Yes. I want to say this, see, that, you know, the world is full of stories that are negative.
Mm.
Yes. They want to only broadcast the negative stories.
Yeah.
They don't want to broadcast the stories that are full of hope.
Mm.
Yes. So if for example, a bus is involved in a road accident, road traffic accident, and nobody has died, that story will not go very far. But should someone die, now it's worthy news.
Mm.
Yeah, it's worth it now. Yes, and that one has, because it's negative. Yes, it's negative. If a family they are knit together, husband and wife and children, that is no news.
Mm.
But if there is a scandal in that family, something negative, oh, that becomes news. So people love to share things that are negative. And that's why stories of hospitality, of kindness, stories of, people that show love, to others, to me, these stories, we need them more and more and more.
Mm-hmm.
We need to share these stories because they will go a long way.
Mm.
To bless many people. They'll go a long way to bless many people because you get to listen to it and be able to say, oh, yes. So even me, God will bless me with someone in my life who will change my life.
Mm.
Oh, so even me, I know God will open doors for me. Oh, I know God will connect me to somebody who will change my life story. So I want to say, yes, we need more and more of such stories which are full of hope to be shared, where we can now talk about kindness, we can talk about issues to do with people that are friendly, people that show love to one another, generous to one another, who are warm, and so on. Because we always hear of people, oh, this one betrayed me, disappointed me, broke my heart.
Mm-hmm.
But how about those that mend the hearts? So we need that story as well.
Yeah, indeed. Mfundisi, we have heard, we have learned. Thank you so much. I'm going to ask that please do offer a word of prayer for us that we may be able to welcome the strangers and be hospitable to them.
We are praying. Our God and our Father, we thank you that you created us in your own image. And within each one of us, you have given us the grace to welcome others. May this be practical. May this be our lifestyle. May we get blessed as we welcome strangers, as we see a stranger having a smile because we lived. Give us the grace to express warmth, generosity, kindness to strangers, visitors, and those that may come where we are. So that, Lord, we will not only bless, but we shall be a blessing to others. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, thank you so much. Till we chat again tomorrow.
Thank you. Looking forward to tomorrow then. Stay blessed.
Amen.
Bye-bye for now.
Bye.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.